Well, we're still making connections, getting connected. We've been talking every Sunday night, or almost every Sunday night, about this particular theme. And we started in January talking about getting connected with our church family. In February, it was getting connected with our youth. This month, in March, we've been talking about getting connected with our senior saints. And tonight, we're going to look at part three of that particular study. And I'm going to go in a little different direction this time because I don't think the... Let me see how I'm going to say this. I don't think you old people want me to just keep on talking about what all's wrong with you. And I don't think us young people need to be harped on anymore about what we need to do for the old people. And so I thought I would try to pick a topic that applies to all of us and is often associated with elderly people and even in the Lord's church, but the subject of loneliness is a subject that's vitally needed, not only for the older folks, but for the younger folks as well. In fact, across all of the age groups in our society today, I understand that loneliness is a major problem. Now, as in a lot of other things, we've probably got some preconceived ideas and notions about just exactly what loneliness is and who gets lonely and who should never get lonely and all of this. And a lot of times our understanding is sometimes narrowed in a little bit too narrow of a subject just based on the way we experience it ourselves. There are some people who are just not really prone to loneliness. There are a few folks among us who you could run them off out by themselves where they never saw anybody and never came in contact with anybody, and they'd probably be okay. In fact, they'd like that. But most of us are not that way. Most of us do better when we have someone around us. In fact, that's been a principle from the very beginning. Now, my wife and my mother are smiling about something over there that has to do with what I just said, I think. And I've got this reputation of being one of those guys that would be okay just to be off by myself somewhere. But it's not always that way. But what I started to say is that this matter of loneliness has been a problem. In fact, it's one of the things that the Bible puts a definite marker on all the way back at the beginning, like Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. You remember what God said there? It is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, we will make a helper suitable for him. It's been an issue ever since that time. It's been an important thing. Companionship is a good thing. Companionship is a necessary thing. Companionship is a helpful thing. We're not just talking about husbands and wives. We're not just talking about co-workers or just friends. There have been some really strong friendships set forth in Scripture. There have been a lot of people. In fact, David said in Psalm 25, turn over there with me if you will. I believe it's Psalm 25, verses... I got too many things in my hands here. Psalm 25, verses 16 and 17. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Did you know that David said that on one occasion? He was talking to God. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Look at the next verse, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. One of the things that David dealt with, and I can only imagine that especially as David was being pursued by King Saul during that time when Saul was trying to kill David, I can only imagine how lonely he felt at times, being cut off from his people, being cut off from much that had to do with God and the worship in the temple and in the tabernacle and all that pertained to serving God. David was a fugitive on the run, and I surely believe that would have been one of the times when he would have felt a tremendous amount of loneliness. There have been others who were lonely for various reasons in Scripture. Elijah had to have been suffering not only from depression, but also loneliness there in 1 Kings chapter 19 when he sat down under the juniper tree and told God just to go ahead and take his life because he was impressed with the fact that he was probably the only one that was left and there was no one else serving God, just him. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you're the only one and nobody is helping and nobody else is around? What about Jesus in the garden in Matthew chapter 26 as he went a distance from his disciples and began to pray to God, and he came back and found them asleep, and he said, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Then in the next chapter, chapter 27, as Jesus hung there on the cross, the unspeakable sense of loneliness and emptiness that we do not even begin to understand, as the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We know that it was necessary for Jesus to endure that separation from God for the purpose of paying the price of all of our sins. And so loneliness is a bigger issue than some people want to make it out to be. It can be a spiritual problem. It certainly is a problem that afflicts older folks, but it's also a problem that is common with younger folks. There are all kinds of problems that come into people's lives that result in loneliness. Now, some of those problems are self-inflicted. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Heard about a couple of old widow ladies who lived in a retirement home, one of these high end, you know, fancy schmancy places, and it was Sophie and Shirley, and Sophie and Shirley were really good friends, and Sophie was the bold and brave one, and Shirley the meek little mouse, you know, that followed along behind Sophie, and I didn't make this up, Shirley. This new guy shows up at the retirement center, and he's sitting in a lawn chair out by the pool. He's a rather handsome fellow. Sophie and Shirley have seen this guy, and they're interested in him. They want to know more about him, and Shirley's real shy. And so, Sophie, you go talk to see what you can find out. And so Sophie walks up to him there beside the pool, and she says, "Hi, I'm Sophie. How you doing?" And he says, I'm good. And she says, "We haven't seen you around here before. We're just wondering, why do you look so lonely?" He said, "I've been in prison for the last 20 years. And Sophie says, why were you in prison? He said, "I killed my third wife." She said, he said, "I strangled her." She said, "Really? And what about your second wife?" And he said, "I shot her."
She said, and if I may ask,
your first wife? And he said, well, we got in a bad argument and she fell off a bridge. And Sophie said, okay.
Hey, Shirley, he's single.
It doesn't work out for everybody that way, but, you know, loneliness is a real thing. I want us to go to a passage of Scripture that you might not think would be the place we'd go to learn about loneliness, but turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we look at, first of all, some of the causes of loneliness. You know, most of the time loneliness results from less than dramatic situations like strangling your wife and prison and all of that stuff. But there are a lot of real events in people's lives that bring on loneliness. Such as, well, number one, we could call them transitions in life. Now, I'll be the first to admit that this may be a catch-all phrase that probably includes a whole lot of things. But growing older is a transition in life. Being born is a transition in life. And what does a newborn baby do but cry until he or she is cuddled and comforted? And in a sense, there's loneliness even from the very beginning that longs for companionship and the presence of someone else. Moving to a new location, maybe even moving to a new job, starting a new school, going off to college. I mean, the list is a lot longer than many of us have probably ever really thought about. With all of these transitions, loneliness is often a result of some of those things. The death of a loved one is certainly a prime cause of loneliness, even failing health. Illness. What do we do when we get sick? We isolate people. So everybody goes through transitions. Everybody goes through changes in life. And often these changes result in loneliness. The Apostle Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 has gone through his life. In fact, he is, as we read this now, he is about at the end of his life. He is in prison in Rome, essentially awaiting death. He's probably close to 60 years old, which in view of the life that he had lived and the times of that day, he was an elderly man at that age. And remember what he said there in verses 6 through 8, the verses we read this morning. He said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And then notice what he says in verse 9. He says, do your best to come to me soon. He's separated from Timothy. He's separated from his co-workers that he's loved and enjoyed and spent time with up to this point in time. Not only verse 9 there, but look over probably on the next page in your Bible to verse 21. He says the same thing again. He says, do your best to come before winter. Do your best to come to me soon, and do your best to come before winter. The separation that takes place when a loved one dies or when a family is destroyed by divorce. When an elderly person goes to a nursing home. Do you realize, I read just today, the average people in the nursing home, 60% of them never have a personal visit. 60%. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause for separation, often loneliness is a result, is part of the fallout. In Paul's experience here, we see that rejection also played a part in this. Look at verse 10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. And, of course, in verse 16, he also says, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Desertion was a part of what Paul was experiencing and going through here in prison that put these lonely words into effect here in this letter that he writes to young Timothy. And then there is the idea of opposition. Notice what he says in verses 14 and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. There had been many people through the years, throughout his ministry, who had opposed Paul. And remember when he, in one of his letters to the church at Corinth, he goes through a long list of things that he had undergone and gone through as a result of his service to the Lord in caring for the churches and in traveling and preaching the gospel. And many of those things were brought on because of those who were in opposition to Paul. These are all things, these transitions, the separation, the rejection, the opposition. These are things that can translate into our lives as well. Maybe not so much in putting us in prison and experiences that we have in preaching the gospel as Paul did, but in very many of the aspects of our lives, we come across these same kind of factors. Well, how do we win? How do we handle loneliness? Just again, staying with this same text, I want us to look at three or four things that Paul makes reference to. Number one, utilize your time wisely. Whether you're old or young, or in the middle, wherever you are, make it a habit of your life to utilize your time wisely. What was it that Paul told Timothy in verse 13? When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Paul says, I've got a good opportunity here to catch up on my reading and my studying. And so bring the books and the parchments to me because I've got the time to put into it. Now, I understand the fact that a good book isn't going to keep you occupied all of the time so that you'll never get lonely. And I also realize that you probably won't be able to spend 12 hours a day with your nose stuck in the Bible. But the more time you could spend studying God's Word and those things that are a part of the teachings of the truth, that's time well used. That's time that can be spent when we're not necessarily out on the go with someone or going somewhere and seeing things. Some of us have kind of let ourselves
come to believe that the only way to spend our lives is on the go, wide open all the time. And that's not really good for us. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with us. A wise use of our time includes studying, meditation on God's Word, cultivating relationships that sometimes can only be maintained long distance with letters or emails or those kind of visits. I can promise you this. If you suffer from loneliness and you do nothing more but sit alone and brood over your loneliness, it'll only get worse. Oh, wrong button. Number two, release the grudges. Let go of those things that have happened, things that are in the past, things that some of them may have contributed to your being where you are now, or even to your loneliness. I can imagine 100 different scenarios where we could have reason to be mad at someone over what's happened. Some people even choose to get angry with God. Some people choose to get angry with their spouse, family members, parents, children. Those grudges are not good for us. Look at verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Now notice the next thing Paul says. May it not be charged against them. You know, on the flip side, he could have just sat there in that Roman cell and he could have said, you know, the least they could have done would have been to come and stand here with me during my trial. I'm here because of all the good that I've done for those folks, and nobody's even bothered to send and inquire as to how I'm doing or what's going on. I can't believe how the brethren have not supported me. I can't believe how folks haven't helped me out. And on and on and on. No, he says, I had to stand alone in my trial. Nobody came to support me. May it not be held against them. Release those grudges. Number three, recognize God. Recognize God's presence in your life, His work in your life. Look at what Paul says in verse 17. In retrospect, on the same subject of having been alone when no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me, he says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. He gave God credit for being active in his life. You know, sometimes it's tough to see beyond our troubles and to recognize God's work and God's presence in our days. But He's there. If we're living for Him, He's working for us. We can't always quantify it. We can't even always identify it. But we have the assurance that if we are serving Him, He's serving us. The last thing, this is a biggie here. Meet the needs of others as you have opportunity. Concern yourself with the needs of others, like Paul did there in the last part of verse 17. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. That reminds me of something else Paul said. Turn back to Philippians chapter 1. We find Paul the prisoner again. This time, as he writes the Philippian letter, he's in prison at an earlier time. He's gotten out of prison after that, and now he's back in prison as he writes the letters to Timothy. But in Philippians chapter 1, let's take up reading at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, it's important for you to know that what he's referring to when he says that which has happened to me, he's talking about his imprisonment. He's talking about the fact that he's in prison for preaching the gospel. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And then he talks about the fact that there are some people who are preaching and teaching the truth, but who aren't doing it from a pure motive. But he ends up saying in verse 18, you know, as long as the truth is being preached, I'm thankful for it. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Sometimes when we're lonely, when we're all wrapped up in our problems, our troubles, the last thing we want to do is try to help someone else out of their problems. But I'm here to tell you that that is usually the very, very best thing that we could do. It may very well turn out to be the most productive efforts we could ever make. Productive toward getting us out of our funk or loneliness or whatever we want to call it. Because it's hard to dwell on my problems when I'm trying to help someone else with theirs. I hope our discussions on connecting with our senior saints has been productive, but I also hope that no matter who we are, young or old, we recognize the importance of doing the right things to try to ward off the problem of loneliness. By better understanding loneliness, even for those of us who are so young, we can better relate to those of you who are so old who have these problems. Next month, Lord willing, we're going to talk about strengthening our connection with God the Father. And those ought to be some interesting discussions. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.